Before we start the show, let's hear from one of our sponsors. Their support keeps this show free for you. Hey there, Peace and Parenting family. If you love the podcast but wish to enjoy it without interruptions, your wish has come true. Introducing the ad-free version of the Peace and Parenting podcast available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. As a subscriber, you'll get all the heartfelt advice, parenting stories, and actionable tips you love without any ads. For less than the cost of a coffee each month, you will enjoy uninterrupted listening while also supporting our work to help you build stronger connections with your kids. Try it out for free. Simply find Peace and Parenting on Apple Podcasts, click try free, and you'll gain immediate access to our ad-free episodes. There's no commitment and you can cancel anytime. So if you're ready for a more peaceful, uninterrupted listening experience, subscribe now. Let's keep focusing on connection without the distractions. Hi, I'm Michelle, a mother of two teens. 13 years ago, I traded in punishments and rewards for connection. Now I prioritize relationship over behaviors, utilize play as a parenting tool, and set limits with empathy instead of consequences. Each week, I share my journey and interview clients, experts, and followers. Thanks for joining me on the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the Peace and Parenting podcast. I am so glad you're here. I have a guest today, Nandini, and she has a parenting question and we're going to get into it. So will you please introduce yourself to the audience?
Sure. Firstly, thank you. And hi, everybody. I'm Nandini from Vancouver, Canada. Moved here 3 years back from Hyderabad, India. I have a 7-year-old daughter, Leela. And yeah, definitely parenting is one of my passionate subjects. So I'm here with a lot of questions.
Yeah. Well, let's start with one.
One, yeah.
Can you tell the audience what your question is?
Yeah. One of the things I've noticed in this path of, you know, gentle or peaceful parenting is that we give space to kids to validate their emotions when they're showing their tantrums. But then maybe because they like hear it frequently from us or something like that. But with few kids, this emotional coaching or validating causes more frustration. And they come back saying, no, you don't understand. If you understand, this is not what you would do. You would actually do what I want you to do, right? And so many times I find also annoying that I'm seeing myself saying sorry more often. Like the other day, my daughter, I'm angry. She was walking, she stepped down and I just turned around. She was so angry and annoyed. And she said, you caused me tension. That happened because you caused me tension and you're not even saying sorry. I'm like, I didn't do anything. In that moment, do I have to say sorry? Though my mind and body is like, I don't want to say sorry and keep validating her emotions. But then should I just respect her emotion and say sorry? But then I also notice I'm saying that so frequently compared to my husband. I am the one always saying more sorries. I'm like, what's happening? So yeah. So
okay,
like,
this is a good question.
Where do we draw a line between our responsibility and validating their emotions? Where will they take the responsibility? Like, and how do we navigate that? Yeah.
Well, that's a really good question. And I do not think you're alone. I think there are many, many kids who respond that way. And so how do we and what do we do to navigate when a kid says, no, you don't. You don't understand how I feel. And how do we navigate when they say they want us to fix it? There's a bunch of different ideas here. So one idea is that, are they used to us fixing everything? And is that why they're asking us to fix it? Have we not given them enough opportunities to fix their own problem? And have we not held the space and let them be really angry? Have we gone into like fixing and is I'm sorry kind of a fix? Because you're then taking responsibility for it. And you're saying it's my fault. I'm so sorry you're feeling this way. But it isn't, Nandini. It's not your fault that she's feeling that way. And so by saying sorry, you're taking responsibility as if it is your fault. And so is she expecting you to fix it because you've taken on that culpability? Now, again, we have to think too, what's our goal here with validation? What is our goal? What are we trying to get with validation?
I think we're trying to say, to make them feel heard and seen in this relation, like whatever they're experiencing, we kind of acknowledge it. Maybe yes. We don't agree, but
right,
acknowledge it, yeah.
So if that is succinctly our only goal, then we're achieving that goal by just saying, I'm here, I understand how you feel, but we can't have a vested interest in their response. If they say, no, you don't, you have to fix it. What's wrong with you? You made me do this thing. We are required to accept that, but not take it on personally. And we are still required to hold space for that upset because that upset is part of their feelings. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does make sense. Yeah. Yeah. Interestingly, there are other times when I'm able to disassociate and not own up what she's feeling. But I think, yeah, this is a space of growth where even in these moments, I should be able to do that.
Well, it's hard because you're hearing her say, it's your fault. How dare you do this to me? But we know, you know, in your heart of hearts, you didn't do anything. She's just so upset. She can't manage her feelings. Maybe she did something and she's shameful around it and she's taking it out on you.
Yeah, that's what annoys me. Like, oh, and I sometimes end up like, Leela, you have to take responsibility. You're just blaming people around her.
She will take responsibility if you can hold enough space for her.
Okay.
But when you go to, I'm sorry, now you're telling her, oh, it's my responsibility. I'm sorry because I did something wrong. Instead of saying, I'm right here. I get it. You're having a hard time. And not feed into her blaming you.
Yeah. Can you help me also then? When do we actually say sorry then? What are...
You say sorry when you yell at her.
Only...
Well, not only, but you say sorry when you've done something egregious. When you've done something wrong, you say sorry. You've done nothing wrong. Why are you saying sorry?
Yeah.
Because you're trying to make her feel better. And I think that's the other piece is that we're often trying to make our child feel better with empathy. We believe deep in our heart and soul that if we're empathic, that a child will calm down. We want them to calm down. But sometimes empathy makes them rev up. And that's okay because they're getting their feelings out. And maybe they really need to. And maybe the ramping up is part of their process because that's their temperament.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old is she? 8? Is that what you said?
She says 7.
7. You know, 7-year-olds still have tantrums or should still have tantrums. So this empathy might cause her to have tantrums. It might push her deeper into her feelings because when you say, I understand. I'm right here. It almost makes us feel sadder.
Then what's the best way forward in such situations?
Just stick with your empathy. Be quiet as much as you can. It sounds like she doesn't need a lot of words. I would be as quiet as you can. And every once in a while saying, I'm right here. I know it's hard. And let her go off in some crazy emotional tangent that you have no idea what she's going to say or do or where it's going to lead. But she's leading you into her emotions.
Here, when you're saying, on one hand, we need to be empathetic. On other hand, you're also saying that being empathetic makes them more sadder.
Yeah.
And that's natural.
Yeah. Well, just think about it. When you're really upset and you're having a hard time, and then you go to your best friend and you're like, I'm having such a hard time. This is terrible. X, Y, and Z is happening. And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. What does it make you do?
Cry more, maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
but she might be in anger. So it might make her more angry before she gets to her tears. If you stick in long enough with the empathy, she might get to her tears eventually.
Yeah. And I think, at least what I've noticed with myself is, you do say these words, but in your mind, there's a devil going on, which is not really connecting at an empathetic level. Like, in my mind, I'm having like, okay, like, you know, get done with maybe. Like, this is not something.
100%. And so can she feel that?
Yeah.
Do you actually feel empathic for her? Do you feel like she's having a real experience?
I think, yeah, I think that's the bigger, yeah, black hole that has opened up for me, because definitely I think these are the moments when I'm annoyed and I feel like she's acting unnecessarily or over the top, and then so I'm not able to, yeah.
Yeah. Another way to reframe it too would be that, you know, she's mad about who knows what, you know, that she didn't get the right dinner. And she's mad at you for the wrong. You didn't make me the right dinner, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes kids get mad about something on the surface, but what they're really mad about is something deeper below the surface. Like they had a fight with a friend at school, or they, you know, got left out of a party that they were supposed to go to, or something bigger, but they get mad about the dinner. And so it annoys us because we're like, how can you be mad about dinner? Like, I just made dinner. Like, what's the big deal? But if we think about it with a more global lens, and we know that maybe it's not about dinner, it helps us be more empathic.
Yeah. Yeah. A constant reminder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we didn't have empathy as kids, then it's so hard for us to know what empathy feels like and how powerful it is. But if you can remember the times, even in your adult life, when someone was empathic toward you and how it felt, you can pull from that when you're with your daughter.
Yeah, I think it totally makes sense. Yeah.
We're hitting pause for a moment to thank our sponsors. These brands make sure you can listen to this podcast for free. What if you spent the next 30 days really focusing on connection with your kids? What do you think sibling rivalry would look like? How would cooperation go? And what would the feeling be in your home? Join my 30-day challenge. For 30 days, you join me and my coach, Martha, and really explore the ideas of connection. We do group coaching for the entire month, and you have access to all of the Peace and Parenting materials. Please join us for a 30-day challenge. Find the link in the show notes. My book, Unpunished, is finally here. It is my journey into connected parenting, the idea of perfection, and how it nearly took me down as a mom. I give you my best thinking around how to be a connected parent, and the insights that I've discovered over the last 12 years of this incredible journey. I'm giving my book away for free, plus shipping and handling. So go to unpunished.com and get yours today. We're shipping domestically and we're also shipping internationally. Let's dive back in.
I had one question too, like, but then this whole gentle parenting and constantly being empathetic, constantly being there, also can get exhausting sometimes. Do you feel that? Or like, I know maybe self-care is part of that, and also we all give space to ourselves. Like, don't be harsh on yourself. It's not about perfectionism. Like, you know, there's repair. That's the part of the thing. However, which mistakes, or, you know, how do we discern, like, which are part of growing up or learning in this parenting journey, and which things are like, no, I mean, I can understand yelling, but are there some things that come to the top of your mind? Or, I mean, how do we know? And in this whole journey also, like, so that's what can make us exhausting. Like, okay, I'm trying to make everything right and we feeling guilty at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have a lot of questions in there, but let's start with the first one. That's, you know, the exhausting piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Parenting is exhausting. And I think having that expectation up front and saying, no matter how you do it, gentle, harsh, authoritative, authoritarian, no matter how you do it, it's hard.
Oh, okay.
It is hard no matter what, because are you going to punish and give your kids time out and yell at them all the time? And then how are you going to feel when you go to bed? That's hard. Are you going to try to be gentle and work really hard on your inner self and do the self-care and do all these things? Also hard. No way around it. It's hard. So sorry. But there are some things, you know, we can do to make some things early. First of all, get support. Like, get as much support as you can. Go to coaching, take an online course, you know, find a community of people that are doing it this way. Get a listening partner. We pair people up with listening partners in our community. Everybody has a listening partner, so they have someone to just download with. Like, get support that makes sense for you. And don't beat yourself up. Nothing, not even yelling, not even spanking, not even any harshness is going to ruin everything forever. It just isn't. Everything is repairable. Everything. And so even if you are in your darkest moment and you think you did the most horrible thing, they will recover and so will you, as long as you keep trying.
Yeah. 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 Answers my other question I had, like, to be compassionate to ourselves in this journey, in a way, to contradicts my question, like, what's the end goal of this journey? I think it's not, like, it's a journey. Just enjoy then feeling the burden of it, doing it right, and being cautious of something going wrong constantly. I think
just enjoying being a parent, right? Enjoy the small moments, enjoy forming the relationship, because really what were the goal for me really is, now that I have kids who are older, Esme's 18, you know, my goal is to have a relationship with this person. And that's all I'm looking for. So if I'm constantly doing things to make a good relationship, then I think I'm on the right track.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is beautiful. Like, to not, I'm aware of it, but then this is like a more reinforcement of to enjoy.
Yeah.
And then feeling burdened around doing the right thing, and this will lead to that, so plan strategically and things like that. But then in the moment, to just build a relationship.
And I'll tell you, my daughter's gone, she's in college now, and it went by like that. It was so fast, and I wish I would have enjoyed it more and not been so serious about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And for a person like you, whose Insta, I see where you keep telling, right, like the beautiful relationship you have, where she invites you in her social media. She's so cool. So it apparently looks like a great and amazing relationship. And that's the aspiration I have. And then you also feeling that things went by so fast. Imagine, right? Like,
Yeah, our relationship is not perfect either. We still have moments that are not, you know, ideal, and but for the most part, it's great. And we have to hold on to that piece, that if 50% of the time we're doing it right, we're okay.
That's good. That's beautiful. I mean, yeah, I think this is the biggest piece, to like a great reminder to like remind myself as to what am I here for. Yeah, yeah, I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had such great questions.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Any last question you have?
And I didn't watch your consequences episode, but is it like, I have always this question about natural consequence during this gentle parenting, but then for a lot of things in life, the natural consequence doesn't happen for a long time.
Well, is that true?
How? Like, well, studies or health, like...
I think the natural consequence is not doing the thing that they know they should do and feeling bad about it in here. The natural consequence is usually internal. It's nothing you can see. It's what they feel. And even if they don't do the thing, they know they're not doing the right thing and they do feel bad about that if you don't give them a consequence, if you hold space for their feelings, if you are connected. They will get to that internal feeling because when you punish them or give them an external consequence, now they're mad at you. Now they're thinking about the external consequence and they don't go inward to think about the internal consequence. Oh, shoot. I know I should have brushed my teeth last night. Oh, that wasn't good.
I don't know. At our home, we don't do punishments. We don't have timeouts. I don't yell. But then it's a question every day. Like, why do I have to do that every day? Why do I have to listen to you? Why do you get to decide? Like, these are this routine things. Why do I have to study? Like, my friends don't get homework. Why do I have to put in that effort? But how do you?
Well, there's a bunch of different ways you can come about it, all kinds. But one, you could be playful. Like, what? You don't want to brush your teeth? Well, I guess I'm going to have to come over there and tickle you to death. Can you be playful? Or can you use some sort of logic? Like, okay, don't do your homework. You don't want to do it, don't do it. Is it important to you? Do you want to do it? If you don't want to do it, then don't do it.
So yeah, and with respect to brushing, whenever they want to brush or whenever they want to read, and I don't know, how do we...
Use play, use connection. If they're saying no, they're disconnected. They need connection. If they're refusing and not being cooperative, they need connection. So that's telling you there's a lag in connection right there and you need to pump it up.
Oh.
Cooperation and connection are deeply linked. When you don't get cooperation, it means your connection is waning.
Makes sense.
And if you're using threats or bribes or any kind of disappointment or lectures or any kind of tiny things, it can also erode connection.
Yeah, I think if I'm definitely lecturing, definitely, like, yeah, I may not threaten and all that, but like, you have to do it. I mean, the tone and
she knows she has to do it. She's probably heard it 1,000 times.
Right. Yeah.
But that's not going to make her do it. Connection will. Kids want to cooperate with people they feel connected to, just like us all.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just little people. They're not different.
Yeah, makes sense.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much
for coming on. This was so lovely. I so appreciate it. I love your questions. They were amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of, I mean, answered like the big puzzle pieces I had in this journey. I'm like, yeah, I think you just... Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And thank you everybody for joining us on the Peace and Parenting Podcast. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you all next time.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.